The recent violence that occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Jarrett Stepman, who is a writer with Heritage Foundation, DailySignal.com for more information to see Jarrett Stepman's pieces, including this one. Listen to this, quote, "I picked quite a time to go on a weekend trip to Charlottesville. What was supposed to be a nice getaway with my wife turned into a journey through the eye of a national media storm," end quote. Jarrett, welcome back to the program. It's so great to have you on, and tell us about what happened at Charlottesville on Saturday, August 12th, that you saw.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jerry.
Sure.
As I said in my piece, it was quite a time to be visiting Charlottesville. I had made these plans with my wife to have a nice weekend getaway to kind of get away from the politics and all the kind of mean stuff. But of course,
the culture wars.
I happened to be dropped right into it.
It's amazing.
Eye of the storm.
Yeah.
It really was quite a coincidence that I happened to go there. And, you know, I tried as I went to stay away from what turned into quite a riot on the downtown area. But I did have a chance to speak to many of the locals and many of the people there who had witnessed these events. And Charlottesville, if people know a little bit about Charlottesville, it's a Central Virginia town. It's where Thomas Jefferson had lived. It's where Monticello is, Jefferson's house. They have the University of Virginia. It's kind of a small town, USA. It's a very kind of quaint town that isn't really used to these massive political riots like you maybe see in a place like Washington, D.C. So it was definitely something that was something that the townsfolk there were certainly not used to and were blindsided by and were frankly quite stunned at the events that had taken place.
Okay, how violent was the whole event? I mean, it seems like when you actually look at the video, you see people are fighting, and on the one hand, there's the neo-Nazis and the KKK, the Unite the Right, which are guilty. I mean, between the two, they're more guilty than, say, the other side. But there's no question that there people are fighting. This is violence. I mean, it's two sides that are clashing.
That's absolutely right. There were fights breaking out all through the downtown area, and it really spilled out, I think, more than anybody thought initially going into this.
Oh.
I mean, I had no idea that it was going to be this major event.
How close were you to downtown yourself?
I stayed away from the downtown until the very last day when a lot of the mobs had cleared out, and
there was a
very much an increased police presence. But I did know a guy who lived just across the street from some of where these big protests took place, and he said it was absolutely terrifying. He bought himself a shotgun and stayed at a friend's house because he was so afraid of what was going on there. It was a terrible scene. I don't want to underestimate how bad it was there.
Yeah.
For the people that were kind of at the eye of the storm. I was, I guess, fortunate enough not to be around the downtown area when some of these worst riots had taken place. But I did get to see a lot of the aftermath and talk to a lot of the people who had witnessed these and had been, frankly, they were stunned. I mean, they were really stunned, and people were on edge about the events that had taken place.
There's a statue of Robert E. Lee, and the city council had voted to remove that statue, and so this is kind of like a one last stand. And some of the eyewitnesses, I read your piece, and it's terrific, and then I was reading some other eyewitness accounts. In fact, there was one from the L.A. Times, and I thought, my goodness, some of these people that in favor of the statue almost sounded like they were Civil War Confederate soldiers or something with the rebel yell or whatever, you know, rushing in. It was like, wait a minute, folks, I thought the Civil War ended, you know, in 1865. Come on. But
exactly.
Here's a local gas station, a tenant told my wife, this is quoting from you, "These people from out of town, Nazis, Black Lives Matter, they're all hate groups to me." You used a phrase, this is identity politics run amok, and you've got this tribal politics that's destroyed other countries. Comment on that.
Yes, that's exactly what I saw with this kind of thing. I mean, the figure that the Robert E. Lee statue, which kind of became the focal point of debate, frankly, the individual who was involved there really didn't matter to these groups. This was all about tribal identity politics. This is what, frankly, a lot of these groups want. They want this to be about your identity, about your tribe, and that, you know, they charge in, they want to pick a fight. The individuals and the people, certainly, that the statues represent are almost insignificant in this fight. And this, I think, is really a product of years of, you know, ratcheting up tribal politics that are very dangerous for this country, that promote a civil discord amongst Americans. I think a lot of people who witness these events can see how ugly and how fast that can change, and how violent something like that can become in a place like the United States. You know, we're not the scenes that that many people saw there in Charlottesville were more reminiscent of Weimar Germany in the 1930s, not a little quaint American town in the middle of Virginia. And I think that's something that should give people pause when they think, well, you know, tribal politics aren't so bad. Well, this is an example of what they can lead to.
Could that phrase, tribal politics, could you be accused of using a racist phrase even just in saying those very words? Your comments?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's part of the problem that we have in our culture, is that so much of, in my opinion, reasonable debate is shut down in this country. I mean, so much of, you know, this is kind of the problem that we're having on college campuses, where a conservative speaker who wants to show up is shut down, is shouted down, and can't create even a reasonable argument, because the other side will say, well, this person's just that they're out of bounds and we can't listen to them. I think the people that are the real, I think, radical extremists, like these Nazi groups, you know, obviously I think most Americans find their views to be odious. I don't think that their free speech rights should be shut down. I think that they should be allowed to speak and say their awful things and, frankly, you know, demonstrate the folly of what they believe. Unfortunately, because we have an increasing intolerance to free speech across this country, I think more of these groups are going to bring on adherents to their awful ways, because a lot of what is reasonable debate is completely shut down in the places that it belongs. And we're going to see more things like people fighting in the streets and violence, which I think is, you know, frankly, some of the stuff seems to me to be very un-American.
Yeah, I would agree with you. By the way, the American Civil Liberties Union is no friend to conservatives, and yet didn't they actually allow or argue on behalf of the neo-Nazis to at least be able to have a peaceful demonstration for this particular case?
Yes, they did, and I have to give them credit for that. I mean, sometimes, certainly they have been, they're not in favor of a lot of conservative groups in general, but I think on the free speech issue, oftentimes they have been very good, and I think on this one, they're right. Even though, frankly, almost nobody in this country likes Nazis or what they represent and finds them to be utterly odious, I think it's good to stay consistent in the principles that make this country great. And I'm glad that even organizations like the ACLU can recognize this, and I think it's a really important thing because, frankly, these people's views, if well known, I think people recoil from them and say those are awful. Those aren't what represents me. When they get shut down, I think some people sometimes get more curious about them and say, well, gee, why are these groups being shut down? You know, maybe they have something interesting to say. So I think it is very important. And this is, you know, this is the America that we love. We do value the mm-hmm. First Amendment, even when it comes from people that we find to be repugnant in many cases. I think it's important that we preserve those values and that we don't change who we are.
Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, there is absolutely zero defense here of the KKK, zero defense of slavery, which was an evil, awful thing, zero defense of racism. But what you're basically saying is we saw mob rule in effect in Charlottesville. And then, by the way, you also wrote a follow-up piece in reference to what happened in Durham right after the Charlottesville violence.
Well, that's correct. And this is something that I think we all have to be on guard against. It's something that happened on the Monday after these events took place. Is in Durham, a mob, a protest, marched downtown, went to the county courthouse, and frankly vandalized a statue to Confederate soldiers who had been fought in the war, vandalized the statue, tore it down in public as the police looked on, frankly, and were smashing the statue, which was frankly a wild act of vandalism as they were stomping and kicking this torn down statue. And I think this is really something, and frankly something that Abraham Lincoln warned about, which is the danger of mob rule and the breakdown of civil society. Whatever you think of the statues and their place in America, I think everybody should recoil from these scenes of mobs tearing them down and smashing them and causing a political discord. I mean, causing damage to public property. I think this is something that every American should be wary of, and it's something that, if allowed to continue unabated, I think we're going to see more and more of it until leaders step up and say, this can't be allowed. We need to have the rule of law in place here to stop these things.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, when you look at the, in that example with Durham, the statue that was toppled and then people rejoice and so forth, it just represented a Confederate soldier in general. But people need to remember this, and this is something I think I learned in the Ken Burns series on the Civil War. Look, one out of 20 of those who fought on behalf of the Confederacy, only one out of 20 were actually slaveholders. And, you know, for many of the people fighting, they were defending their own land. Now, all that said, by the time the war ended, there's no question that slavery became the big, you know, where they're going to be free or not as a nation. And that became the cause at the end. That's why England chose not to support the Confederacy by the end of the war, but they were actually considering it in the beginning stages. But people need to understand these nuances of history. They need to understand Robert E. Lee was a respectable man and a statesman and somebody who, after the war and so forth, worked for, you know, reunification and so forth. And people forget that. And by the way, you know, Lee hated slavery and he also hated secession. But, he just couldn't stick a sword into his native Virginia. Your thoughts?
Well, those are very good points, and I would like to remind everyone that, you know, all the efforts that were made after the Civil War to patch this nation back together. I mean, some of these statues are even a product of this, because after the Civil War, which would cost almost 750,000 lives in this country, more than all of our other wars combined.
Right.
Putting that nation back together, I have to say, is nearly a miracle of our history.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of leaders, and there was certainly a lot of anger on both sides that lasted for well over a century. It took leadership. It took real courage for people to put this country back together.
Right.
And I think by attacking these monuments and by going after it this way, I think we're tearing open old wounds that I think wiser men of past generations sought to heal over, men like Abraham Lincoln, men like, in the end, Robert E. Lee. And I think it's a real shame for people to be opening up these wounds of a war that was the most violent in our history, and relitigating this and causing discord between Americans. I think it really does a disservice to all those people who put this country back together again, and it's a real shame.
It is a shame, and we should also point out, you know, that it was a shame what happened then for blacks for the next, you know, 75 or whatever years after the war, really almost 100 years, and Martin Luther King Jr. said, look, folks, it's time to recognize that, you know, our creed, which is a correct creed, that all men are created equal, you know, they're not living up to their side of the bargain here, and black people are should be acknowledged. And by the way, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whom we've interviewed before, Alveda King, she's a strong evangelical, she spoke out in favor of what Trump said after he spoke out and condemned the neo-Nazis and the KKK, and that we need to work together towards unity in this country. And your comments?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. I think, frankly, instead of tearing down old statues, we should build new ones to the leaders who have demonstrated that, hey, America does change in its values and for good ways sometimes. And you know, I think that celebrating that instead of going back and trying to dig up graves or smash monuments or, frankly, destroy the American and erase our history, I think that's the way to go. I think maybe a little more far-seeing people will say, hey, this is better for the country. You know, those terrible things that happened in our past, like slavery or racism, you know, those things are not what we hope to be today.
Exactly.
And I think that and that by sticking to those things and say, hey, we recognize the past and the greats that built this country, but we believe in our strong future, this great future, this nation, we can recognize both of those things without tearing things down violently and through mob rule.
Exactly. All right. Jarrett Stepman, DailySignal.com. Thanks so much for being with us. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, with malice toward none and charity toward all. And by the way, it's specifically spoken in the kind of context in which we're talking about here, in reference to a nation that was, you know, needing to bind up its wounds. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, DailySignal.com. Thank you, Jarrett.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.